the ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. In today's message, we are looking at John chapter 18, verses 12 to 27. But before we begin, I invite you to join me in prayer. Almighty God, what a morning. We thank you, God, for this morning, for this chance to come together as family, to listen to your word to us. Lord, may you guide us and may you inspire us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. So before we dip into this morning's particular text, we should flip back to John chapter 13, part of which we looked at last week. Now last week we looked at the Jesus washing the feet of his disciples, and then shortly after that, Judas got up and left to do the thing that Judas had to do. And also, Jesus continued in conversation with his disciples. And it looked like this in John 13, starting at verse 31. When he, meaning Judas, was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children," said Jesus, "I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And Peter asked Jesus, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." So that happened a number of chapters ago, and Jesus continues to go on with his teach with his disciples, and they make their way to the garden where Jesus is arrested, and that brings us to today's reading. So, but remembering though that Jesus predicted that Peter would deny him three times, yet through it all, Jesus continued to love him. And when you look at what we read this morning about, you know, Peter denying Jesus, it kind of makes me think of those videos you see on the internet. You see the parent walking down the hallway with their camera, and they're taking pictures of, you know, of the paint-covered walls or crayon-covered walls, and they go in to keep tracking this through, and they walk into the kid's bedroom, and the kid is covered head to foot in paint or whatever, or markers, and the parent goes, "Did you make this mess?" "No." And the kid's still holding a marker or something in their hand. Right? You've seen those videos. Hopefully you haven't had it happen in your own home. But we've all seen that, I think. Makes you think it's a good thing kids are cute. Because there might be a lot less people on the planet if they weren't. Well, that and God told us not to murder anyone. So there's two reasons why there's so many people on the planet, I guess. But sometimes we just... we don't want to own up to the fact that we did something. And so we don't want the punishment, so we'll plead innocence, even when the evidence is kind of stacked up against us. But then again, you see real-life court cases where it looks for sure that someone's going to be guilty, and then there's some sort of evidence introduced, or there's or something's missing, and they'll get off innocent, or of course it'll be thrown out of court. So if someone can really get off kind of scot-free when it looks like for sure they're guilty, then maybe a giggle and a smile will get us off scot-free too once in a while. So sometimes, yeah, maybe even denial will work at times, and when we think we might be in a little bit of trouble. And that seems to be the approach Peter's taking today. So Jesus has been arrested. He's now being interrogated basically by the religious leaders to determine his fate. As part of the chaos around the arrest of Jesus, Peter pulls out a sword and cuts off the ear of one of the chief priest's servants in the whole melee that's going on around this wrestling match trying to protect Jesus. Now, why Peter has a sword, I have no idea. It's be an interesting question to ask. But he's got one, and he does some damage with it. So now that Jesus has gone on his way towards the trial, Peter's probably wondering, well, what's going to happen to me? Because I kind of had a hand in all of this. And so, you know the saying, guilt by association, right? That's probably how Peter's feeling through all of this. So through it, Peter, he wants to stay close to Jesus. He wants to know what's going on with his friend. He fears there may be some guilt by association. He fears there may be repercussions for what he did with the sword, cutting off an ear. You know, he wants to stay close so he can hear the news as what's happening. Hey, remember, there's no CNN, there's no Facebook, there's no Twitter. He can't stay at home and keep up to date with what's going on. If he wants to know what's going on, he's got to be right there amidst it. So he's trying to be there, to hear the news, but he's also hoping that he won't be recognized. But of course he is. People recognize him and they ask him if they know Jesus. So he's got a decision to make. Does he confess that, yes, I'm the one who's been with Jesus, risking being arrested himself, or does he deny it? And so he chooses to deny knowing Jesus. And just as predicted, he denies Jesus three times, and then the rooster crows immediately after the third time. Peter remembers those words from just a few hours ago that Jesus had said. And it doesn't say anything in the Gospel of John, but if you flip to the Gospel of Luke, it says Peter went outside and wept bitterly when he remembered those words from Jesus about how he would deny him. So Peter understands a little bit more. And amidst of all this emotional roller coaster he's on, we need to remember that there is a second track in this scripture passage. There's Peter and his denials, but there's also Jesus undergoing trial. He's being questioned by the various authorities. And he stands in front of Annas. He's the father-in-law of Caiaphas. And Caiaphas is the one who said it is better for one person to die for the people. Caiaphas is trying to say that Jesus is causing so much trouble. He has to be eliminated. He needs to be taken care of. In other words, if the Jewish leaders want to keep the people in line, then Jesus needs to go away. Because up until this point, they've had a pretty good control of the people. Society was running along just fine before Jesus came along, according to their point of view. They had the money coming in. They had the power. They made the rules. People came to them for advice. People came to them for lawful, legal answers. They came to them for help. They had it all. And now Jesus has come, and he's turned everything around. He's exposed the Jewish leaders for what they have been, people who are looking out for themselves. And as a result, we're seeing how the people they were ruling over have been treated unjustly. So Jesus was working to fix that problem, and the religious leaders didn't like it one bit. So Annas grills Jesus on the things he's been teaching, about what he's been saying, what he's been doing. And so Jesus tells him what he's been doing. Jesus tells him what he's been saying. He's completely upfront about it. In fact, he says, if you don't believe me, go talk to the people. They'll tell you the exact same thing. And so the other people, the other religious leaders in the room, they get a little upset, and they lash out at Jesus. And Jesus says, whoa, hold on. If I'm lying, tell me where I'm lying. And they can't do that, of course. So Annas realizes he's not getting anywhere with Jesus and sends him kind of up the chain, sends him up to Caiaphas. Annas wants nothing more to do with Jesus. You see, they're still trying to figure out who Jesus is. They don't believe Jesus is the Messiah because he doesn't look like what they expect a Messiah to look like. They expect a Messiah to come from some sort of chief priestly line, some great, almost royalty type thing. They come in and agree with them on everything and just basically say, yeah, you're doing a good job. Now follow me. But instead, they get this carpenter's son from the middle of nowhere and they don't know what to do with him. They don't recognize him as the Messiah because he's not the Messiah they are looking for. Now back to Peter, he knows different. He's been with Jesus for 3 years. He's seen the miracles. He's heard the teachings. He's seen it all. He's been there at Jesus' side through every step. But even though he has done all of this, when Jesus is in his crucial hour, Peter denies him. And Jesus, at this moment, where he's being on trial for sins he's never even committed, just hours away from his death, we see that his friends have abandoned him. Now remember, Jesus predicted that Peter would deny him 3 times. Peter being the one he called the rock. Peter being the one he said, I will build my church. He called him these things in Matthew 16. Even though he knew, even at that time, there would be a point when Peter would deny knowing him. But it has to happen this way. It's the way it has to play out. Jesus makes this journey alone because he's the only one who can complete it. He's the only one who can see it through. He is the only one who can take it all the way to its conclusion. No one else will die for this cause. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Jesus does it alone because he is the only perfect Son of God. He is the one who is able to carry the sins of the entire world on his shoulders. He is the only one who will go into death and fight a battle we can never win on our own and come out victorious just 3 days later. Only Jesus can do these things. Peter can't do it. None of the disciples can do it. I can't do it. You can't do it. Only Jesus can do it. Jesus is the Lamb of God who was slain for the world. He is the last sacrifice needed to bring the people back into relationship with God. The difference in this sacrifice with the sacrifices of the Old Testament, where people come forward and place their sacrifice at the temple, is that God offers this sacrifice, not us. He's offered it on our behalf. And all we need to do is accept that it has been done for us. So even Peter, who denied knowing Christ 3 times, he went on to have a wonderful, impactful ministry, doing miracles of his own. He is the one, yes, that Jesus built his church upon. All of this after the resurrection, after Peter received the Holy Spirit, when he fully understood the sacrifice Jesus made for him and God's people. Peter realized that his guilt was gone. He knew why Christ took it all on himself. Why? Because Peter wasn't strong enough to do it on his own. But Jesus is. Jesus is strong enough to take all of our sins and die on our behalf so we may know that he is with God, he is from God, and through him we too can be with God. So in a way, when you look at it, Caiaphas was right. It is better for one man to die for the people because that man is Jesus. Sure, there will be times when we will deny Jesus in our own lives. Right? Someone might ask you where you were this morning. And you'll say, oh, I was at church. Oh, okay, well, what happened at church? Oh, well, we sang a little. We prayed a little bit, and I saw my friends, and that was it, the usual. Now, your friend might be thinking, wow, That sounds boring. I'm glad I wasn't there. Now, what you might say, it would be true. We sing some songs, we pray, we see our friends. But what about, what is God doing this morning? What did we say about that? Did you share that the Holy Spirit touched you today? Did you share about how you love coming here and hate to miss it? Wouldn't that be more exciting for your friends? And yeah, same old, same old. Jesus is alive and well in the world today. He's alive and well in our church and in our lives, if we open ourselves up to all that he has to offer us. If we are willing to say, yes, I know Jesus. I spend time with him every day, twice on Sundays. Then we will not deny Jesus. There's no need to deny Jesus today because he has already gone to the cross. He's already taken all of our punishment. He's already set us free. We are free to share his name. We are free to share his stories of all he has done in the Bible and in our own lives. There's no persecution for us today because we say we know him. There's only life. A life we can share with others so they will know Jesus too. They will know that Jesus is the one who died for all the people, all God's people. He died for all of us. He died for our sin. He died for our freedom. He died for our lives. He died so we may be with God. He is our sacrifice. He is our strength. He is our Savior. He is the one who is above all others. He is God among us. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, in you we have all things. We have joy, we have hope, we have peace, we have love. All things you promised to us in your life. All things we receive through the power of your Holy Spirit. Jesus, give us courage to not feel the need to deny you any longer. Give us the strength to share your name and how it impacts our lives and our church as we receive the gift of your sacrifice on the cross. Give us reassurance that through your resurrection, we too have won the battle you fought on our behalf, and we have inherited the reward of the heavenly kingdom. Lord Jesus, these things you have done, you did for us all of God's children, so we may have life with you. We thank you, Jesus, and may we continue to grow in love with you. We pray this in your most holy name. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website, www.carmenunited.ca. May God bless you this day.